It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Welcome one and all. It is July 5th, 2021, which means it's Monday. Monday after a holiday. And you know what happens on a holiday? Sleeping in, not really remembering what's going on. So I did pull a show together right on edge of time. So let's just go ahead and get into comm, because that's where we chat and how we hang out during the show. You'll want to be there, especially if you're sticking around for the Dubious Goals Committee. What you want to do is SSH over to sdf.org. That'll, if you don't have an account, you can go to new@sdf.org, put that in, and then when you connect, you can sign up for an account. Now, once you have an account, that's when things get fun, because you can go into comm, just COM, hit enter, G for go to, and then Anon Radio is the name of the room. Not Anin Radio, as sometimes people will typo it. It's just GANONRADIO. And you hit enter. You'll be greeted with a nice little welcome banner and see all the people in there. Of course, you know you're in the right place if you see Jazzmaz, because he's always present. Hello, Ratsu. Welcome. And welcome one and all, including SMJ and Tin and Tobe. Tobe calls down to the lobby to get M&W. I'm here. It's news time. So, welcome. Jazzmaz is always present. So, you have to be careful not to upset the Jazzmaz. I'm just goofing around, sorry. All right. Well, also, want to be sure and wants to give a shout out and a good luck, well wishes to Northern Lights. They are flying off to move tonight, I guess. So, probably won't be a show tomorrow, but hopefully we run into them in comm soon. Oh, and welcome, X1. Right on time. Welcome. All right. Well, that's enough of that. It is time to go ahead and start the way we always start, and that's with
world news.
That's right. It's the world news time. And the first three stories, I went ahead and did something that we've done in the past. Whenever there's multiple tragedies, over 100 deaths, I like to put them in a number of people dead or missing order. So we're going to go ahead and start in Japan today. More than 100 people are still missing in Japan after heavy rains trigger landslides. Japanese rescuers combed through crumbled houses and buried roads on Monday, 2 days after landslides tore through a resort town, fighting time and poor weather to search for more than 100 people believed missing. At least 3 people have been killed in the seaside town of Itami after torrential rains at the weekend touched off a succession of landslides to send torrents of mud and rock ripping through streets in one part of the city. In some places, more than a usual July's worth of rain fell in just 24 hours. The torrential rain and landslides are a reminder of the natural disasters, including earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and tsunami, that still haunt Japan, where the capital, Tokyo, is to host the Summer Olympics beginning this month. We want to rescue as many victims buried in the rubble as soon as possible, Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga told reporters, adding that police, firefighters, and members of the military were giving their all to do so. Good luck, Publius. Enjoy your eye rest. I hope your ear rest is okay, too. The third person was confirmed dead in the seaside city of Itami, 60 miles southwest of Tokyo, where 113 are believed missing, spokesperson Hiroki Onuma told Reuters. That fatality was a woman, Kyoto News Agency said. We're in touch with various groups and pushing forward with searches. Over the weekend, some 20 people were said to be unaccounted for, but the number rose sharply on Monday as officials began working from residential registers rather than phone calls from people unable to reach family members. Around 130 buildings were affected on Saturday morning when landslides ripped through Itami, a hot springs resorts town set on a steep slope that leads down to a bay. So, it's rough, right? So, yeah, it's pretty sad. Oh. SMJ reports some people have recently moved there due to remote work opportunities. We haven't had a chance to really touch on those. I've had that story in the list a couple of times. There's lots of reports about the strain on smaller towns by the pandemic and all the remote work and people being able to move to do remote work. But either way, it's really sad. So that's the first one. 100 are still missing. In Nigeria, gunmen have seized 140 school children in Kaduna State. Gunmen in Nigeria have kidnapped at least 140 school children in the northwest of the country, police say. At least 8 people were also abducted from the National Tuberculosis and Leprosy Center in Zaria early on Sunday morning. 2 nurses and a 12-month-old child were among those seized, said a hospital worker. There's been a recent spate of abductions from schools and universities for ransom. On Monday, reports emerged of another mass kidnapping from a school near Kaduna City, about 80 kilometers southwest of Zaria. The mother of a 15-year-old girl who was kidnapped from Bethel Baptist School told the BBC that 140 school children had been seized by a large group of armed men who arrived on motorbikes and broke down the fence. In a statement, police said gunmen overpowered the school's security guards and made their way into the students' hostel, where they abducted an unspecified number of students into the forest. A total of 26 people, including a female teacher, had been rescued, the statement said. A local Christian leader said there were 180 students in the school, only 20 of whom have been accounted for. However, he said some of them may have escaped. The police said gunmen involved in the hospital attack in Zaria, thought to be from criminal groups known locally as bandits, opened fire on the police station in the city. While they were engaged in the shootout, another group attacked the hospital. The attack on the police station was a distraction, whilst another group attacked the dormitories of the health center workers. The group escaped with the victims into a nearby forest. A hospital worker who was asked not to be named told BBC Hausa that the gunmen had abducted at least 12 people, including 3 children under the age of 3 and a teenager. A local government official said troops were stepping up efforts to find the victims. More than 1,000 students have been taken since December, and 9 have been killed. More than 200 students are still missing, some of them as young as 3. So, very troubling. It's like they said, it's a spate. There's a bunch of these happening over there. It's pretty rough. And let's go to Algeria. 150 beachgoers are sick from sea pollution. Nearly 150 people were hospitalized after swimming on Sunday in seawater suspected to have been polluted at Tins in northwestern Algeria, a regional official said. 3 beaches and a desalination plant have been closed. An investigation launched in CHLEF, so Charlie Hotel Lima Echo Foxtrot. Chlef, a locality that includes Tennis, the report says. Local government official Lekdar Sedis told the privately owned Echo Yuruk TV channel that 149 people suffered nausea, fever, and redness of the eyes and were taken to hospital. Sedas said that around 50 people had since left hospital and that polluted seawaters may have made them ill. Suspicion centered on a ship carrying livestock that had arrived recently at Tennis Port, he added. The website, Inahar Online, named the ship as Tanzanian-flagged Barham II and said it had arrived from the southern French port of Sète. 28 divers and 7 civil defense workers who were sent to investigate were also reported to have become unwell. An official statement said an environment ministry team had taken air and water samples from the port at Tennis, beaches, and other locations. So, very troubling. I hope they figure that out. Because as it gets hotter, a lot of people are hitting the beaches. So, let's do something that's a little better. Positive story. A little more feeling. And that is, a pet lion is being returned to its owner after Cambodian PM's intervention. A pet lion that was confiscated by Cambodian authorities last month has been returned to his owner after a surprise intervention by the Prime Minister. The 18-month-old lion was illegally smuggled into the country by a Chinese national official said. They launched an inquiry in April after seeing TikTok videos of the lion at a villa in the capital of Phnom Penh. The 70-kilogram lion was seized on the 27th of June and moved to a rescue center. Since then, the owner, a Chinese man named Zai Jing Jiang, and local media, has made appeals for the return of the lion on social media and in interviews. On Sunday evening, longtime Prime Minister Hun Sen responded to the owner's pleas in a Facebook post. He said he had raised the issue with the agricultural minister, Veng Sekhon, and agreed to have the lion returned to his owner if the animal was kept in a proper cage. He also ordered authorities to reimburse any penalty paid by the owner, who was reportedly was fined $30,000, or 21,000 pounds. So, not sure if it's good or bad. The apparent owner of the lion thanked the prime minister in a comment. In the previous story, when we talked about this, we found that the lion had had its front fangs removed, its front canines, or those incisors removed, and its claws removed. So, I'm not sure if the lion were to escape, if it would be in danger to it. It would probably be more in danger than danger to others. It's not sure. What does he say? He said he spent $5,000 a month to rent a special villa just for his pets, many of whom were gifted to his household for safekeeping. He said he was not aware it was illegal to keep a pet lion in Cambodia and apologized for causing any alarm to his neighbors. I feel very happy, very touched. I didn't expect to get him back, the owner told reporters. But some critics strongly disagree with the decision to return the animal. In a tweet, the UK ambassador to Cambodia, Tina Redshaw, said the return undermined legislation to prevent the ownership and trade of endangered wildlife. So, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. If we get a story in a couple weeks about a Chinese man in Cambodia being eaten by his pet lion, we'll know who it was. So anyway, this is just, hopefully it's a little bit of a change of pace from the mass sadness and destruction there. But don't worry, as they say,
resistance is futile.
Indonesia is facing oxygen crisis amid worsening COVID surge. More and more people in U.S. media keep talking about defeating the pandemic and how the pandemic's over and blah, blah, blah. And because people don't get their news from reading the news, they just kind of talk to their friends or go on social media, I guess. I'm not sure. Food Lion is a store name. Indonesia's government has ordered producers to prioritize medical oxygen amid a COVID surge and a shortage of oxygen in a number of cities. Hospitals say they've almost exhausted supplies, with one reporting that 63 patients died as a result of oxygen shortages. Indonesia is reaching more than 25,000 new cases every day. Increased travel and the highly contagious Delta variant have exacerbated the crisis. Indonesia has had the worst crisis COVID outbreak in Southeast Asia, with about 2.3 million positive cases and more than 60,000 deaths so far.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay. You know, you get that in your head sometimes, and you're just like, what's going on? And you know what it is? It's just, you know.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Talking about Audacity. Audacity, the program? OPEC Plus calls off meeting as UAE and Saudi spat continues. OPEC Plus sources said there had been no progress in resolving the matter, and Monday's meeting was called off with no new date agreed upon. OPEC Plus ministers called off oil output talks on Monday after clashing last week when the UAE balked at a proposed 8-month extension to output curbs. Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abdul Aziz bin Salman on Sunday called for compromise and rationality to secure a deal after 2 days of failed discussions last week. But on Monday, OPEC Plus sources said there had been no progress in resolving the matter, and Monday's meeting was called off. No due date has been agreed. So, we're going to see some volatility in the oil markets as oil-producing countries kind of go back and forth. Welcome, Adam D. Welcome. yeah, that's a little bit too nuanced. We don't have time to do it right. Let's go ahead and play a song real quick, and then we'll come back and run through some more important news headlines for you. I think this is an Everlast song. You remember them from the 90s?
Yeah, that's hard. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. All the broken hearts and the unpaid dues. What you did to me, what I did to you. I ain't mad at you, boo. So what we gonna do? I just seen you out with your new mans, looking kinda happy. Feeling like somebody just slapped me. My gut's in the knot, my temp's getting hot. I wanna make that man bleed and wear this speed knot. Cause he ain't got what we had, and it makes me kinda mad. I hurt my one true love, just like my dad. And it's kinda sad, cause now my shit's together. No need for umbrellas, I can see the stormy weather. I'm going outside, into the rain, like Keith Sweat. Cause I can't house this pain. We was working for years, now I'm jerking these tears. From my lips to God's ears, girl, I did you wrong. So I'm making this song to let you know how I feel. Before keeping it real, man, keep my heart concealed. And now I'm on the side just patiently waiting, watching on you and the time for updating. I can't hide from the truth, I know the pudding's in the proof. So I stand convicted like all your friends predicted. But I think you'd be surprised on how this ends, brothers. We went from lovers to friends, we'll go from friends to lovers. So if that man make you smile, I guess that I'll just accept it and respect it. I'll hit you with this song and let you think about it. Then I'll just leave you alone and be a man about it.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a song from Everlast called The Letter. I don't think I heard it before, but I searched for blues through my music, and that was the first song that came up that was within the allotted time segment that I wanted to use. And someone in Com, TX and Com, wanted to let us know if you'd like cringe videos, check out the Everlast Live at Woodstock 99 video. It is very cringy. And big shout out and welcome to newcomers, new listener, or new joiner in Com, Froggy Me. Hello, hello, welcome. All right, let's jump back into it. We got a lot of news and only 10 minutes or so to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is an absolute blast. If you don't listen, you should check it out. Oh, and F-Fog, hello, hello, welcome. We have so many shows going on Anon Radio now. You gotta check it out. If you're in Com, hit the equal sign. If you're not in Com, go to anonradio.net, grab the ICS file, or look at the calendar, and check out what those shows look like. See if there's one that appeals to you. You can go to the archive and listen to past shows. It's just a lot of fun. So definitely encourage you to check that out. So let's go ahead and get back into
world news.
All right. Azerbaijan says mud volcano caused Caspian Sea explosion. Okay. A strong explosion has shaken the Caspian Sea area where Azerbaijan has extensive offshore oil and gas fields. The cause of the blast, which caused a column of fire to rise into the sky late on Sunday, was not immediately determined, but the state oil company SOCAR said preliminary information indicated it was a mud volcano. SOCAR said it's none of its platforms were damaged in the explosion. Not to be outdone, there also was an explosion in the Gulf of Mexico and one other spot. There were three spots where the water, the oceans or gulfs of the world were on fire yesterday. It's very wild. The Caspian Sea has a high concentration of mud volcanoes, which spew both mud and flammable gas. SOCAR spokesman Ibrahim Amadov was quoted by the Azerbaijan news agency APA as saying the blast took place about 10 kilometers from the Umid gas field, which is 45 miles off the coast of the capital of Baku. Mark Tingay, a mud volcano expert and adjunct associate professor at Australia's University of Adelaide, said the explosion certainly could be a mud volcano and that the location fits roughly with a mud volcano called Makarov Bank, which exploded in 1958, releasing a column of flame 500 to 600 meters high and 150 meters wide. Holy cow, that's so much bigger than I thought. The country has hundreds of mud volcanoes, a quarter of which are known to erupt violently. And then there's a picture with a map, and it's just absolutely covered in pins and dots and labels of all the volcanoes. I'm a mud volcano expert and an adjunct professor at the University of Adelaide. So a little bit of a Changing gears, LGBTQ activists in Georgia, the country, said Monday they had been forced to cancel a planned Pride March after opponents clashed with activists and police. The Prime Minister spoke out against the event. Pride events are still controversial in Georgia, a conservative country where the powerful Orthodox Church has previously clashed with Western-leaning governments in over-progressive social issues. Pride events are still... hundreds of protesters took to the streets of Georgia's capital, Tbilisi, against a Pride March that was scheduled for Monday evening. They clashed with police and assaulted journalists at several locations, including outside Parliament and the United Nations Representative Office to Georgia. Footage from the Metavri television network showed. "We cannot risk human lives and take to the streets, which are full of violent attackers," organizers said in a statement on Facebook, announcing that the march will not be held today. So, that's kind of, that's just a heads up what's going in Georgia. And another country, another example of a country where the country uses Facebook as a way to communicate with people. Well, there's still more explosions, don't worry. There's been a blast at a Thai factory. There's killed at least one person and a mass evacuation's underway. A huge explosion and a fire at a factory on the outskirts of the Thai capital has killed at least one person and wounded 29 others, with firefighters struggling to contain the blaze amid the risk of further blasts. Occurred about 3 a.m. on Monday at a foam and plastic pellet manufacturing factory just outside Bangkok near the city's main Suvarnabhumi International Airport. Not sure. I probably said that terribly wrong. Anyhow, it could be heard for kilometers, and surveillance footage from a nearby house captured the bright flash and boom, followed by the damage to the home and the one next door from shockwaves. At first, it felt like lightning. After that, I heard something drop loudly, and for a while, the house started shaking like there was an earthquake. Residents in Samut Prakan province who live within a 5-kilometer radius of the factory were being evacuated amid concerns over poisonous fumes from burning chemicals and the possibility of additional detonations. Al Jazeera's Tony Ching, reporting from Hong Kong, said that firefighters are concerned about potential new explosions due to the presence of 20,000 liters of highly flammable chemicals. So, pretty crazy times. So anyway, we hope that they're able to get that fire out without any further loss of life. So, boom. We've got a bunch more stories, but we're going to run out of time. So we're going to jump into a couple of tech stories that came up over the weekend. A gang, they're calling it a gang, but the gang behind a colossal ransomware attack has demanded $70 million in Bitcoin to return for a universal decryptor that it says will unlock the files for all victims. The Revil Group, the R-E-V-I-L, Revil Group, claims its malware, which initially targeted U.S. IT firm Kaseya, has hit 1 million systems. This number has not been verified, and the exact total of victims is unknown. However, it does include 500 Swedish co-op supermarkets and 11 schools in New Zealand. Two Dutch IT firms have also been hit, according to local media reports. On Friday, cybersecurity firm Huntress Labs estimated about 200 firms had been affected. The supply chain attack initially targeted Kaseya before spreading through corporate networks that used its software. Kaseya said that fewer than 40 of its own customers had been affected, but because Kaseya provides software to manage service providers, firms which themselves provide outsourced IT services to other companies, the number of victims may be much greater. No duh. And the number of individual computer systems within those victim organizations could be greater still. Kaseya Chief Executive Fred Vakala told the Associated Press that the number of victims would probably be in the low thousands, made up of small organizations such as dental practices and libraries. For hundreds, perhaps thousands of IT teams around the world, this ransomware attack is a horrendous headache that is still growing. But the way the cybersecurity world has pulled together to reduce the impact of the attack has been incredible. So, yeah, so this is going on. This is just another ransomware attack. So, just going to be a heads up. Be sure you have backups, and be sure, if you do have backups, that you've got them stored offline, or at least in a way, an encrypted format, so that people can't just come and encrypt them and prevent you from getting at them. Sorry, I forgot to mute. I needed to get a drink. But anyway, back up your stuff if you don't want it to be lost. All right. This is, I really wanted to get to this story. Because this one was scary. Nightmare scenario. When brewing giant Coors launched a new advertising campaign earlier this year, the format came as a surprise to many. The company was planning to infiltrate people's dreams to get them to buy and presumably drink Coors beer. And it's labeled beer, I think, just in the name of the business, because their product is very low alcohol. I wouldn't call it beer. Coors encouraged people to watch a short online video before bed, then play an 8-hour soundscape through the night. If successful, this targeted dream incubation would trigger refreshing dreams of Coors. It's unclear how many people took part in the dream manipulation. The top Google search result for Coors Dreams is currently the song Dreams, performed by Irish pop rock band The Coors. But experts warn that the Coors campaign is not just a gimmick and may have opened the door to a troubling future. They're trying to push an addictive drug on people who are naive to what's being done to them. I don't know if it could get much worse than that, Bob Strickgold, a cognitive neuroscientist and professor of psychiatry, at Harvard Medical School, said of Coors' effort, which he believed could potentially be replicated by other companies. What is, how wild is that, right? Anything you could imagine an advertising campaign for at all could arguably be enhanced by weaponizing sleep. Strickgold was one of the co-authors of a recent open letter which sounded the alarm over companies using targeted dream incubation in June. The letter was signed by 35 sleep and dream researchers from around the world. It's like, what is the deal? It's so wild to think that's going on. Oh, and if you view the source code of a Guardian webpage, you'll see the Guardian logo in ASCII art. And then it says 200 years in big old letters. So that's kind of cool. All right. Well, what else can we do? We've only got about a minute or two. Oh, shucks. That's what happened. I accidentally paused my timer. I was like, why didn't my timer go off? All right. Let's go through the remaining story headlines, or at least the headlines with you, so you at least know what's going on. To stop climate change, a new report says Americans must cut energy use by 90%, live in 640 square feet, and fly only once every 3 years. It doesn't mention if you have to become a vegetarian, but that probably would help too. Miami condo collapse, death toll reaches 27 as demolition expands the search area. They went ahead and tore down the rest of the building, and they're still looking for bodies. They're not expecting to find survivors anymore. More than 115 people are still unaccounted for. And he died in agony. How mistaken identity led to a man's execution. There's a new documentary out called The Phantom, and it's the story of Carlos de Luna, an innocent man accused of murder, and it shines a light on the many problems with the death penalty, especially in the United States. They got the wrong guy, he was innocent, and then, in bonus points, he went ahead and they botched the murder cocktail that they give shoot people up with, so he died in excruciating agony over a long period of time. So you don't even have to break the law to get executed by the state in the United States.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
All right, stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee. Thanks so much for listening. Let's query Cronus. Oh, we've got a whole 18 seconds to go. There you go. The Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up soon.